Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for What's Up, starring Jack and Dick Watts, the dynamic duo of deplorables who come to you each and every week to talk to you about truth, justice, and the American way, which is completely different than the Muslim way, where they are teaching little kids in Philadelphia, yes, let's cut off heads. What absolute nonsense that is. Just one of the stories that we're going to talk about today, although certainly not the most important one. And it just gets, like the Cheshire Cat says, it just gets curiouser and curiouser each and every day. Richard, how are you?
I'm fine, Jack. Nice afternoon in New England. No rain, but there's rain tomorrow, so whatever.
There we go. Listen, this I'm thinking that all of this noise about Bill Barr is very similar to what they did to Kavanaugh. Just totally discredit him. Just he's worthless. He's no good. The man's brilliant, and he's very staid and steady. And whenever he opens his mouth, I learn something. I learned things about the law that I did not know. I learned things about government that I did not know. It's very similar to you remember Joe Morgan, the second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. Mm-hmm. For years, he did the color commentary on TV, and he knew so much about baseball that I always learned about a game that I played, you know, that you and I both played from the time we were 5-6 years old. But it was really, I learned from it. You get that same thing with Bill Barr.
You know who else is like that, though? You know who else is like that? Watch a football game
who?
To Tony Romo, given the color comment. He really.
I agree.
He actually tells you. They've got to run it to the right this time because the defense is at, and boom, there they go. He does it. Yeah. It's kind of cool. I think part of this is they're trying to throw up a strong offense to hide their defense because they know that when this Inspector General's report comes out, and he starts going after these people, they're going to try and say it's just a vendetta against these people because he's such a lousy, you know, it really is terrible. You know, the way they're going after his credibility, like you say, just like Kavanaugh. And boy, did they get a slap in the face. Did you happen to see they came out with a poll asking who would you rather have, Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court, and it came out 70% wanted Kavanaugh, 30% Ginsburg. And they were like, oh, well, we weren't really expecting that.
I had not heard one. That's really interesting. You know, in all of the stuff that that's about to come out, and of course, you know, Trump, when he sat down with the short-haired woman from Fox News that does the investigative reporting. Can't remember her name right now.
I know who you mean, though. She's very good,
yeah,
too.
I hope our audience does.
Yeah.
Well, and he said, you know, that the predicate documents that were given to the FISA court to justify the spying on Carter Page and on George Papadopoulos that we know about, and there may be a lot more that we don't know about, but that that he's going to, as he said, release them 100% and more. So that means, in my estimation, that that this whole thing is going to come tumbling down, and that there, you know, this whole idea about, well, we are going to, you know, vote to have a contempt of court for Barr for not giving the unredacted Mueller report when it's been available since the 24th of April, but just they have to go look at it in person. And the reason they don't want, they want it just given to them so they don't have to go across and look at it, is that they want their staffers to read it, and they don't want to read it themselves, number one. And number two, if just a few of them read it and there's a leak, then the leak is going to get known. But if you give it to 435 people, there's going to be plenty of leaks. And, you know, and that's what they want to do. They want to make this a circus for fools, for people who don't pay much attention, so that they can just continue with the nonsensical stuff. And Dick, you know, what has really amazed me here, a couple of things. One, nobody paid much attention to the stuff with Papadopoulos, and of course he was just, you know, this kind of crazy 25-year-old kid and everything, until it became widely known, although he had already put it in his book, that the FBI had hired and paid for a Turkish woman to try and entrap him. It's something out of a James Bond book, and then people started to pay attention. Why? Because people always pay attention to where sex is involved, and she tried to nail him. Of course, he said he didn't. He realized what was happening and didn't do it, which, you know, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I, you know, I'm not sure that I absolutely believe that 100% either, especially where there was drinking involved. No. But c'est la vie, this is something that came from the FBI, Comey's FBI, and Clapper and Brennan knew about it, and so did
condoned it.
Other people. Yeah. And perhaps all the way up to, yeah. Yeah. And now they're also, if you ask me, I think that the key to this whole thing is still Julian Assange, and where did he get all these emails from? And I'm firmly convinced he got them from Seth Rich, who worked for the DNC and was the guy that was murdered, and we have talked about that for several years. And that murder has never been solved. It's a cold case, and it's in part of all of it, and about the server, a private company was the one that did the searching of it and said that there was no this and there wasn't that, not the FBI. Dick, that's not how the FBI works. If there's something that involves national security, they don't say, well, you know, let us know what your private company comes up with. They say, hell no, give it to us now, and they slap a court order, you know, with a search warrant, and they seize it. They always seize it.
Yeah.
If they don't like, if they decided there was something, you know, wrong with you and me, they'd come in, they'd take this phone out of my hands, they'd take the computer away, they'd take all the papers on my desk, they would leave the toilet paper in the house. That's the only paper they would leave.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And so here we go, and we have all of this stuff happening, and we still have this, well, you know, and at this point, I'm sure that they have done things to destroy those servers and you know, what was and what was on those computers. I mean, it's been 3 years. Yeah, it has. It's been just almost 3 years since that Rich was murdered. Yeah. And in technological years, that's 20. You know, because, no telling what's happened to that. And this evidence been not kept. But at the same time,
I just sent you a little write up too about a guy down in Texas that is suing one of the reporters,
NPR.
I think for CNN, NPR, yeah, for
NPR.
Defamation of character, and it's all involving around the Seth Rich murder. So maybe some additional stuff is coming out. Yeah.
This is some pretty heavy stuff, and now we have got our entire bureaucracy in limbo because they're once again. Just like a year ago, we're waiting for the Inspector General Horowitz's report to come out. Once his report came out last time, we expected indictments then. He made referrals, but there were no indictments. There has not, so far, nobody had to pay the penalty for anything other than a couple of, Manafort's in jail. And Cohen's in jail.
Cohen.
And, you know, and they've got a couple of others that are scheduled to go. But just by the way, concerning the Mueller investigation, not one conviction has come from anything involving the original mandate for the crime. Everything that they have is from them manufacturing these things to come up with a couple of criminals. So essentially, our government has targeted these poor saps and put them in jail to say that they got something done so that Mueller didn't look like the complete fool that he is, Weissman and the rest of them too. And that is the truth. It's the truth.
Well, they were both Trump guys, but they didn't get them that had anything to do with Trump whatsoever. They were both for, you know, fraud and tax evasion and the like. So, but you're right. They had to get something. $35 million had to get somebody behind jail. So you got two guys in jail for $35 million. That's not a pretty good record, if you ask me.
Well, but they've ruined lives. I mean, you know, Corsi.
Well, General Flynn. They ruined him.
Oh, and yeah, you know, when it's all over, I think that Trump should just pardon anybody that had anything to do with it, and give them back their names and their dignity. Can't give them back their money, I guess. But, you know, this has been a terrible, terrible thing. And what's even worse is this whole thing of Trump is guilty of obstruction of justice for a crime that was never committed.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So Trump's biggest thing is that he was too over anxious to clear his name from a false charge. That's pretty flimsy stuff. And very normal and natural for a human being who's been falsely accused of something to want to clear their name. It's the unfairness of it. And here, you know, you've got the radical element, left-wing element of the Democratic Party, and they're just hell-bent to impeach Trump. Now, I mean to tell you, if they do, and, you know, if we have to go through the charade of a trial, which, by the way, it takes, just so that everybody knows, it would take 67 senators to say he is guilty of obstruction of justice and he should be removed from office, and there are 54 Republicans. That means that over 20 of them would have to side with every Democrat, and a couple of these Democrats are running in states, you know, like Doug Jones in Alabama. It'd be awfully hard for him to vote for him, for sustaining an impeachment. People in Alabama certainly would not support that under any circumstance. But the thing is that it's just an attempt to ruin his entire presidency, which, by the way, has been extraordinarily successful. I mean, they don't care that we've had the best economy we've ever had, that unemployment's at 3.6%, that wages are higher, and no inflation, GDP at 3.2 for the first quarter. Europe.
I'm sorry, but you know, a lot of this started when Obama was in office, so he really deserves most of the credit for what's happened in the last 2 years, and the fact that in 2008 was, you know, the whole system fell apart, and it takes about 10 years for it to start coming back. So that's more than likely exactly what's doing it. And that's
yeah,
what
and
these,
it didn't have anything to do with the tax cuts, with deregulation, with the opening of the energy sector, and you know, with the return of the renegotiating all of these bad deals. We got a caller. Let me put him on. Hang on. This is Jack Watts. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
I guess he dropped. Any rate, it has nothing to
well,
do
this
with
is,
those things
this is
in
the
these
scenario,
people's eyes.
But this is the scenario that some of these, what is there, 22 people now running for president? Democrats are actually saying, and people are saying to them, what do you want to focus on? What are your policies? And they say, and all they want to talk about is, you know, Trump needs to be impeached. The economy's doing great. But that's because the unions are doing better, and those are our people. I mean, oh my God, I scratch my head and say that these people really do think that we're morons. They really do. They really don't believe that we have the common sense to realize that. What are you running on? Socialism? Is that what you want? Why don't you take a couple of months and go over to Venezuela and see how well your Socialist Party is working over there? I mean, it's just ridiculous that they don't have anything that they want to stand on other than trying to discredit Trump, who in two years, I'll give it 2.5 years, 2.5 years has done more for this country than Obama did. Obama pushed us in the other direction and tried to bottom us out, and Trump is at least pulling us out of the doldrums that Obama had us in. But it's ridiculous. What are you people running on? If you became president, I'm going to make the economy better. It's already doing great. What else you got?
Well, and how are they going to make it better with policies that kill business? And
they want to raise taxes again. Yeah, that's all they know how to do. Raise taxes.
And speaking of Obama, all of the rockets that are being fired into Israel from Hamas,
we paid for,
and the Islamic Jihad comes from the money that Obama sent over to Iran, Hamas and the Islamic Jihad are both revolutionary groups who owe their existence and are funded by Iran, and Iran has no money other than what Obama sent them. Fool that Obama was.
What do you mean was?
This whole thing is projection. I remember being married to a bimbette who accused me of running around when I wasn't.
Which one?
And it was
which one of
I'll just leave that. Bimbette number one.
Oh, okay.
We'll call this bimbette number one. To really hide that was exactly what she was doing. In other words, people that are immoral or deceitful are particularly suspicious of other people being the same way that they are, being immoral and deceitful.
Yeah.
So this is this whole exercise. What is Trump's part in it? You know, he tweets too much and he says some dumb things about it. I don't care. When the results are a GDP of 3.2% and we have unemployment at 3.6%, which is essentially no unemployment at all, and our GDP is just going, and the stock market is doing extremely well. You know, when you take a look at your 401k, which is very healthy, and you look at your monthly statement, a lot of times it's kind of like 25 years ago or 30 years ago, I didn't make in a month, I didn't make in a year what my statement increase is in a month.
Exactly.
Because our economy, it isn't just that the economy is doing well. Our nation, we are increasing wealth in our nation.
Listen,
this is a concept don't even understand.
I want to change subjects for a minute, though, because we're running short. And I want to talk a little bit about this Philadelphia, where these young kids are being taught about Allah wanting people's heads to be chopped off, and the Muslim Brotherhood saying that it was an oversight. And I read that as being an oversight. You mean because you were caught with it. But listen, people, wherever you are, this is right in the middle of our country. And they're talking about the Quran and Allah and killing infidels. And the last time I checked,
beheading
the two guys that are talking are infidels. I just find it hard to believe that. How many other places you think this is going on? Come on, folks. We're not dummies. It's going on all over the place. And you got someone like Omar bitching about Israel being the people at fault and whatever. And it's getting bad. It's not getting any better, that's for sure.
You know, Philadelphia is the birthplace of America's freedom. That's where the Freedom Bell is. That was, you know, where they signed the Constitution. I mean, Philadelphia is an important city. You know, when it comes to sports, I can't stand Philadelphia, any of their teams. But as far as the importance of Philadelphia to our nation historically, it's like Boston. Undeniable, and that this would be happening in the birthplace of freedom is unconscionable. And you know, I'm gonna tell you just a little story here. I remember in high school when you know, they were talking in world history, they're talking about, you know, Columbus in 1492, you know, discovered the New World, and you know how important that was. In that same year, 1490, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria were sent out by the King and Queen of Spain. So Spain, as the predominant power in the world at that time, you know, mandated and you know gave Columbus his chance. So in that same year, Ferdinand and Isabella, who were the king and queen of Spain, expelled the Moors from Europe, every one of them. The Moors were the Muslims. They kicked out all Muslims out of Europe and sent them to North Africa. And I remember when I heard this in school, I thought, terrible. What an awful thing to do for Ferdinand and Isabella. They, you know, that just is not the right thing, period. Now, fast forward to 2019 from 1492, and you've got 450 years, essentially. And all I can say is, I understand how Ferdinand and Isabella felt, and that you know that this Muslim population, and Obama, fool that he was, saying that they, you know, Muslims are part, built the fabric of America. There's no historical proof for that whatsoever. You know, he just wanted to say it because he wants Americans to believe it. But at any rate, listen, we have literally 1 minute,
Muslim.
So. Because
he's
Muslim. And so is Valerie Jarrett, you know, who is talking about she still can't get used to Trump being president. Well, get used to it because he's going to be president for another 4 years. So that's what's going to happen. All right, listen, tonight the Celtics are on. They've got to beat the Greek Freak they're in Boston Garden. And the Bruins are playing in Columbus, Ohio, speaking about Columbus. And we want this Columbus to lose. So it's a great evening if you're a Boston sports fan, which we are unapologetically. And that's what we've got. So let me say, we're done for today. So let me say, God bless you. and God bless the United States of America. Good night, folks. Bye-bye.